certainly we don't come from, all of us, communities where this is a baseline of sustenance. I mean, I don't come from a community where people are like, yo, this is a great idea for you to be an artist. I'm sorry, but my mother, you could say whatever you want to my mother. Say Pulitzer Prize. My mother's like, Pulitzer what? That shit was $10,000. After taxes, he made more being a paperboy. She's like, I wanted him to be a fucking lawyer. You know, he would own a house. And so, you know, I think we often put so much on this moment here. People are talking to you, it seems all cute. But the reality is that to stay in this game, you do need it. You need your ovaries well placed, as my mom says. You know, tu ovario bien bien puesto. And you need people to support you, man. And for me, I always survive on like two or three people. There's two or three friends that I've had since I've started writing. Because for people to understand your project is rare. It's really rare. People might like your project, enjoy it, they might want to write about it, but for people to really understand your project, that shit is super fucking rare. And it's not helped that I will hold on to my work for 4 or 5 years before I show anybody. I mean, I will disappear soon. It's coming close, you know? I can count the months before I disappear again. And the reality is that I will work on something 4 years without showing anybody. And as long as you have two or three people who are there, will like, I will look at this work. But you know, when it comes down to it, you've got to have the heart. You know, you've got to have the heart. You've got to have a belief that this stuff matters. You know? Especially if you feel your art is a calling and not a profession. There's a big difference between thinking of your art as a profession and a calling. You know? If you think of your art as a calling, you would give it back at the first opportunity. If some fucking angel landed and said, I'll take your writing back, I'd be like, bing! You guys don't think so? That shit would go right back. I'd be like, thank you. It's like the Matrix. Put me back in and make me fucking rich. You know, and perhaps it would be easier if I thought of it as a profession, just in place of being a dentist. But it's tough work, man. And it's not tougher than any other work, but you're lost for years and years. You need some people. And I got lucky. 1994, 1995, I picked up a couple people. They're still with me 17 years later. You know? And it's nice, man. Without them, I'd be lost. And they're women. You know, they're women. They're the ones who are like, they vet all my shit. And they're like, I've only gotten a C- from the quorum, but I have hopes. Sir?
I was wondering what portion of your thought process is in Spanish, and if you have any, like, I don't know, short stories that you might be able to publish in the future in Spanish or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. What stories of mine are in Spanish, and how much of my thought process? It all depends on what my context. This is real English context. My best friend doesn't speak a word, and I mean my best friend doesn't speak a word of fucking English. You know, the guy I spend most of my time with in New York, this dude, ni papa de inglés. And so there's certain contexts with the language and those are the way you're thinking. It's just, you know? What percentage? I don't fucking know. It's like that weird charts in the colonial period where they were like, es un lobo. One part indigenous, one part Africanian. So it's really hard to say. And especially, for me, it's especially problematic coming from the Dominican Republic, where those questions of what percentage you are linked to a genocide. You know, in Santo Domingo, we participated in the extermination of Haitian and Haitian Dominicans based on the question, how much Spanish do you speak? And, you know, I always tell people, I'm like, I don't know if it makes much of a difference which colonial language I'm using. I mean, I would have been, my ancestors were slave in both languages, so I don't know. But for some people, they're really wedded to the colonial sort of national project. That to speak Spanish is an essence of a Latino identity. I speak Spanish fluently. I'm not sure it's the essence of a Latino identity. No more than I was sure that speaking Spanish was the essence of a Dominican identity. Because I got plenty of fucking people who are Dominican Republic, who are Dominican, who don't speak a word of Spanish. I guess, in my mind, the Haitian community is part of us endlessly, despite what we think. You know, I always think when we line up the national project, which is not what my interlocutor was doing, but it's very worrying.
One more question. Sisters, what do you got? Come on. Oh, you have your hand. Go ahead, sir. Yeah. No, it's a good question. What advice would I give to young academics or young writers of color? You know, it sucks because I really wish you could give advice that would be so concretely effective. You know, like when somebody corrects your running, again, I used to be a runner for so long, somebody corrects your gait and your running is instantly improved, you know? This stuff is so hard because it's like very little applies. Everybody's situation, everybody's circumstances, everybody's place is so difficult. The real thing is, of course, for us, always, is do we have solidarity? Yeah? Without solidarity, it is very difficult to be a person of color in this country, period. But specifically in places like academia, which is so hostile. Yeah? So do you have solidarity? And the question, if you don't, is why don't you? And how can you go out of your way to make solidarity? Solidarity is absolutely essential. Compassion comes up close behind. Most of us didn't get into graduate school or to advanced programs because we're compassionate people. We got there because you were like me. I was poor. And for me to compete with these Rutgers kids who came from Bedminster and Cherry Hill when I had a job 30 hours a week delivering pool tables, and these motherfuckers were getting money from their parents, and you would see their refrigerator would be full of every goddamn food, and their parents would come and do the laundry, and we had shit. I had to work every fucking 30 hours to live in a pool table. I said, no one but us in the Mahi. You know, that shit isn't just whatever. You know what I mean? That's fucking work. And then you had to come into class, and these motherfuckers were getting, like, basically a full ride from their privilege with the Romney thing. You know? And Romney thinking he's working, you know? Whatever. But then you had to compete with these fucking kids and still get a 4.0 because otherwise you weren't going to get into that grad school. And you have parents who are like, why the fuck are you doing this? And you have parents who are like, ay, mi hijo, mi hijita, bang, blah, 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 blah. The kind of sort of motivational stuff that happens sometimes inside of our family. Then there's all the alienation. You're like, I'm the only Pinoy motherfucker in this place. Or whatever the fuck we are, you know what I mean? Like, all this stuff. And then, how do you get to be at a graduate school? How do I get into Cornell? You go get there by being compassionate. You drive yourself beyond human limits. You put the spur in. These kids are fucking, you're gonna go to a little fucking party? You little Romney? I'm fucking studying.